Hey guys, it's Maria and Zach here.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a little bit of time to talk about TypeEd today, which is a boutique typography school located in Los Angeles. And I've had the privilege of taking a few of their classes, and if it weren't for the skills and education I received at TypeEd, I wouldn't be the designer I am today. They offer both workshops that focuses on calligraphy, lettering, typesetting, etc., and also classes that focuses on the kind of the intricacies and details of typography. And I know, Maria, you recently took a TypeEd class yourself.
Yeah, I just took Type 2 recently, and my mind was blown by how much amazing information they had to offer. The cool thing is, it doesn't matter where you're at in your career, you could always use a little more type knowledge. And if you can't make it in person or if you live really far away, they have online classes for you too. In fact, if you want to take a TypeEd class, just visit our website, creativehoney.org/type-ed, and you can get 25% off of Type 1.
I mean, that's a pretty good deal, and Type 1 is definitely the first class to take. It builds a really strong foundation for any aspiring designer and typographer.
Agreed. So, yeah, guys, go ahead and check it out. The link again is creativehoney.org/type-ed. Follow the link for your 25% off. This is Maria Buyukos.
And this is Zachary Richard Hill.
And you're listening to Creative Honey. Hey guys, welcome back to Creative Honey. It's Maria here, and I'm going to be hosting today's show. Just a little update. Zach recently got a new job. It's a little more demanding time-wise than his previous one, so he doesn't really have nearly as much of the free time as he used to help co-host this with me. He'll still co-host, but he just won't be as available, so probably a lot of these will just be with me. I hope you guys don't mind my voice, because I'll be on here a lot. Anyway, this episode is all about creative burnout, how you get it, how to avoid it, and how to heal from it once it's done, how to dig yourself out of that creative burnout hole that's what it basically feels like once you're in there. I feel like a lot of people in general, not just creatives, have had that career burnout at some point in their lives, you kind of hit a point and you're like, wow, this lifestyle cannot really continue the way it is. Maybe you get sick, maybe you get like a long period of creative block, and maybe you're not inspired, maybe you're depressed. You know, there's a lot of things that come into play once you get that critical mass that turns into creative burnout. Now, I've definitely had multiple burnouts during my time as a designer, and they're not pretty. I didn't realize that it was going to happen because I had never experienced it the very first time it happened. You just push yourself really hard. Maybe you're like, oh, you know, I'm young and I'm invincible, and let me just make the most of this time. Or you get really excited. You start taking on too many clients, things like that. Maybe you take on too many of the wrong clients. All those things can really lead to burnout. And we're going to go into more detail about this and kind of dive into all the little nitty gritty details of what makes the creative burnout process happen and how you get out of it. So stay tuned and we're gonna dig right in. All right, we're back, and creative burnout is the topic. So I'm going to start by kind of talking about some of my own experiences with creative burnout and how it came about in my life. I'd say I first started experiencing burnout when I was in college, and I didn't really know that that's what it was when it was happening. But I was pulling a lot of all-nighters, getting pushed to my limits, having to pull a lot of really creative stuff out of my head constantly, and, you know, going through a lot of critiques, and, you know, some of them were not pleasant, and, you know, just trying to keep up and not get kicked out of the program, because if you're, you know, my grade dropped below a C in any class, if it was a C minus, it was considered a fail, and we would be removed from the program and have to restart all over again the next year. So there's a lot of pressure, and I did a lot of ungodly things to myself to get me through that time. Some of the things I did, I think, still affect me today on a health level. So I don't recommend doing any of these things, but, I would say a lot of it started with, being overambitious, just wanting to perform, wanting to, be in the top of the class, you know, wanting to produce great work. And, you know, that's a fairly normal, you know, thing when you're first starting out in something. You really want to shine and put your best foot forward, you know, especially if you're super passionate about it. And so I went ahead and went all gung-ho and started getting addicted to pulling all-nighters because I realized I could get a lot done. And I'm also a night owl, so a lot of my creativity comes at night and often in hours where I definitely should be asleep. I feel like a lot of creatives are night owls, so maybe you can relate there. But it started off fun, and you get a rush, you know, and you're staying up and feeling like you're a creative genius, and you're pulling all the stuff out of your head and making it come to life. And then, you know, it might get ripped the next day at the critique and things like that. And doing that enough times, you know, you start to fall behind. Your whole sleep rhythms are off. You're not eating well. You're not taking care of yourself. You're not exercising, and your whole mind, your whole existence is wrapped up into your profession or your school life or your work life, whatever. And, that lack of introspection as to, you know, how you're treating yourself during that process is where it catches up to you. And that's when it leads to, the beginning stages of burnout, which are, feeling that exhaustion, you know, starting to not think as clearly, get that fog. All of a sudden you feel very tapped out creatively. It might actually get kind of serious. You might actually be, you know, fall ill. You might have a number of ailments. Maybe you have digestive issues. You're, you know, drinking so much caffeine and you feel like you can't drink any more caffeine, but you feel like you need more because your brain's just not working. And, so you just keep pushing it and pushing it because your body's not working properly. And that's just tapping into the very last reserves that you've got in your adrenals. And that's when you really can blow it. I spent almost every summer after every year of college pretty much in bed, like laid up in bed, like not really able to do much of anything and just being very sick and having a chronic fatigue and all of that. And it would take me like an entire summer of just like basically being bedridden most of the time and not knowing what was going on with me and having all kinds of weird like digestive issues and stuff like that and pains that I was like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And then after I finished college, I kind of like saw the pattern. I was like, oh my gosh, I really burned myself out. You know, I basically pushed myself to the point of exhaustion. And as soon as my body felt like it was okay to relax, it pretty much put me into like an involuntary, regenerative state where it wouldn't allow me to do anything so that I could be forced to heal basically. And, that was just very unpleasant. And, you know, you want to be able to, in your free time, feel inspired and stuff. You don't want to be bogged down and exhausted and trying to get through every day. Unfortunately, that's not the only time I suffered from, creative burnout. I had a major, major creative burnout, after I started my first creative studio. I think this one was caused by, again, a lot of late nights, pulling a lot of all-nighters, kind of like getting caught up in the rush of like getting a lot of work done and then just like following one idea to the next because, you know, as you're working, you're like, oh, and I have this idea and oh, let me just kind of, let me just kind of keep going. And it's kind of like this weird mania, and you're just, you know, just hauling and moving through all this creative, these creative flow that you have going on. And then, you know, just getting the wrong clients, basically taking on a lot of clients that didn't pay well, but demanded a lot from me and were very unstable and not easy to work with at all. You know, having that stress and anxiety of, oh my God, like, they just sent me an email, like, what is it now, you know, or, oh my gosh, just left me this awful voicemail or whatever, and, you know, losing money on these projects. And so then having to take on more and more, and because I was so stressed, I was just taking, like, whatever projects I could get and staying up all night. And sometimes I was doing trades with people where they wouldn't pay me at all, but they were like, oh, we're a startup, and if you do this, then we'll, like, you know, give you stock when we take off. And I kid you not, like, the vast majority of them just never took off, like, at all. They got, like, they ran out of money, or they, you know, couldn't get investors, you know, people, partnerships split apart. And, you know, they say, like, a high percentage of, I mean, way more than startups fail than not. So, you know, that was a risk I was taking, and I wasn't learning, and I was continuing to be altruistic and, you know, continuously taking on clients like that. And just, it led to eating poorly, drinking a lot of caffeine, and not exercising. So I gained a lot of weight. I was very, very exhausted, and I started to decline in every way. And creative burnout isn't just about losing your creativity temporarily or having a writer's block or, you know, a general creative block. It is like a full body meltdown of burnout. And in the creative world, we have to do a lot of crazy things, and we have to meet crazy deadlines just like everybody else. But the thing is that this is tied to our passion. So when we're tapping into that passion and it's being exploited in an unhealthy way by clients or our other circumstances or school or whatever, then it leads to the full body, like, mind, body, soul, like, meltdown. Once I got, you know, I got out of that studio and, you know, I moved, and I mean, I was like fully, again, like, body forced me to basically, like, take a massive break. But, like, I just shut down, could not function, could not think straight. I literally thought, I was terrified that I lost my creativity forever. I could not come up with, like, anything. I'm a person that has, like, a million ideas a minute and don't even have to think much about something creative. Like, I can just redesign things in my head really fast. I'm constantly getting, like, flow of all this creative things just running through my head. And, you know, I was very spoiled. I just could, like, I had, like, a million ideas to pick from at any given time. And going from that and having this free, open creativity, like, my whole life, to just not being able to do, like, one creative thing. And that was very heartbreaking. And I was totally terrified that that was it for me, that my, I'd finally done it. I'd finally gone and messed my brain up. I traumatized myself so much that, you know, I, you know, would never get my creativity back the way it was. You know, I couldn't even draw. I couldn't even do the most basic things. So I went on this, like, weird, like, health journey, basically, and just focused on my health. I focused on my, like, being a spiritually healthy person, mentally healthy. I took all the toxic stuff out of my life, every toxic food, no sugar, no caffeine, all organic things. I even was a vegan for a while during that time, you know, got really into holistic healing and just kind of let my mind do what it needed to do. And I actually found, some creativity doing an Instagram for all of my holistic endeavors, which mainly centered around food and holistic healing. And, I found that I could, you know, bring my photography background into that and, you know, post, you know, nice pictures of what I was making, what I was doing, and things I was discovering along the way. And I almost took a completely different, career path. I thought that I could never get what I had back. And so I was going to try and dig into this other passion I had, which was, the naturopathic, healing, arts. And, you know, I was thinking of becoming a naturopath and, doing all that and started looking at schools and stuff, and it's pretty expensive. And I was like, oh, you know, I really don't want to go back to school. and then I just eventually started to get, the more healthy I got, the more I started to get back like little bits of creativity. You know, I all of a sudden I could sketch again, or, oh, I had this one idea, or, oh, I have an idea for a logo. And then like, it was a very slow process, guys. I had burned myself out. I had gone from college burnout directly into like this crazy endeavor, which was my studio. And then it failed and I lost everything. And then I had to try and build myself back again. So that was like years and years of burning myself out and never recovering. So don't do that to yourself. Please don't do it. It's like terrible. But there is hope. If you are there, or if you're anywhere near there, or maybe if you're at the beginning stages, there is hope. You know, you have to really dive into every aspect of you and assess like what you're doing in your life that could be improved. What are healthier habits you could make? What about the types of friends you have? Are you around people who are inspiring you and helping you to be the best version of yourself? Whether it's your creative friends or just your friends you've had your whole life, or people you hang out with, people at work, you know, how are those people influencing you? Are you around a lot of negativity? That kind of stuff, like around people you're around, can definitely influence your creativity, and it could drain your energy. If you're around negative Nancys all the time, or people who are criticizing you or doubting you, or, you know, because a lot of creatives get a lot of crap for being creatives. You know, we basically, people look at us like we're just like fruity tooty, you know, little artists, and, you know, they don't really understand fully. There's just a big disconnect between like respectable professions, like what those are. And a lot of people don't really look at the creative fields at like as necessarily like respectable. Thankfully, there is a big upswing in appreciation for the creative fields, at more than I've seen in a long time, which is great. And I hope it keeps going that way. But that's another factor that can start help making you doubt yourself. You start to feel bad about yourself. Maybe you're getting pressure to do something else, and maybe your parents thought you were going to do something completely different, and then you're like, surprise, I'm going to be an artist for the rest of my life. And, you know, it's like you're coming out of the closet as like a creative, and it's like this devastating thing. I mean, especially in cultural families, it's not well received most of the time. So that's another thing that can really get in the way of your creative flow, your ambition. You know, you have to be able to hone into that passion that comes from your heart and just go with it. And look, I got a lot of crap at first for not going into architecture. Like I got my degree in landscape architecture, and I did not do that as a profession. And, you know, I started off doing fashion, and then I dug into graphic design, which is where I'm at today. And you know, I had my dad saying, oh, well, you know, you got this degree in architecture. Did you just like waste it? You know, you worked your butt off to get this degree and you're not going to even use it. And I was like, man, it's related. Okay. Just let me do my thing. And I did. And now thankfully it's accepted and it makes me very happy, but it's not easy. The other thing too is, we put too much pressure on ourselves, and we look at our community of other creatives, and, you know, I think sometimes we can get a little competitive, even if it's not, you know, outwardly displayed. And, you know, we want to be able to compete in that market. And sometimes I feel like, you know, creatives get pressured to push themselves in directions that maybe they're not naturally inclined to go, but they feel like they have to do it in order to be competitive and to have that edge and to be marketable. And, you know, that's, you know, we get caught up in fads and all these like design trends going on right now. And, you know, Zach and I have talked a lot about Dribbble and how it's become homogenous and everything kind of looks the same. And, you know, people are pressured to adapt in that way, and in the uniqueness goes away after a while. So that can chip away at you, definitely, because maybe you're getting some great feedback because now you're doing something that's popular. But then what happens when that fad goes away? Then it's like this kind of devastating thing. You know, people are on to the next thing, and you've spent so much time honing this fad, and, you know, it's not true to yourself. So definitely make sure to always hone into what you feel is where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do. Don't get caught up in what other people are telling you to do, trends, all that stuff. You just gotta just look, seriously, as creatives, we have to go lead with our hearts. That's really what we have to do. So I'm gonna go back a bit to how I recovered from that last huge burnout. I'm gonna tell you that it lasted almost 2 years, and it was just a nightmare. And I honestly have to thank Zach. I thank him from the bottom of my heart for helping to bring back my creative spirit. I met Zach during this time, and I really was trying to start a new studio, but it just wasn't happening like it was before. I just didn't feel that fire. I was just exhausted. And, you know, Zach was very enthusiastic, and he is just about to graduate from graphic design program at his school. And, you know, he had that fresh, you know, newly graduated aspect, you know, of himself. You know, he was looking at this in a very fresh way, and seeing his excitement for it just really helped rejuvenate me. Seeing how passionate he was and how much he just worked so hard and honed his craft every day and encouraged me and pushed me. And sometimes I didn't want to be pushed. I would just be like, oh, you know, I would be resistant, but he just kept encouraging me and working with me, and you know, him and I did some cool projects together. We started Creative Honey, and we actually had a little studio called Hill and Bee very briefly, and then it switched to Primer, which is what I own now, and I just run it by myself at the moment. It's honestly more of a creative consultancy. But yeah, he really helped to his fresh look, outlook on design. It just really inspired me, and having him, he was almost like coaching me to get me back, almost to nursing me back to my creative health. And he showed me cool things, and, you know, we started exchanging and showing each other things, and it was just a really fun process. And it was also very painful, because there were some days I just felt like I just couldn't, my brain just wasn't working, and I just felt like I couldn't produce like I used to, and it would get me down. I just got really down about it, you know, and he just kept pushing me. So I'm very thankful that, you know, he was there to kind of nurse me back to my creative health and inspire me and, you know, always encourage me to meet my full potential and always challenge me to do my best. So I'm very lucky that I get to marry that man. So, yeah, shout out to Zach. you know, that was a long process, and he would even get frustrated with me because, you know, he would see that I had this potential but then my unwell state was getting in the way. So I finally just all of a sudden one day just started to really come back, and I just started to get the flow of ideas again. All of a sudden I started to, my mind started to expand and grow. All of a sudden inanimate things would start to inspire me again. I get flashes of things, and it was almost like my brain was in hibernation, and it was sputtering as it was turning back on again, as the circuits were reconnecting and as that creative spark was igniting. Like my creative furnace. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting a little too metaphorical here, but let's just go with it. Okay. So that was great. And it was like this aha moment. But just getting the creative mind back isn't the only piece of the puzzle. I was not physically well. And that's where I'm about to go. This is another big reason. We kind of touched on it in the beginning of this episode. But being physically unwell is going to affect your mental state as well, your energy level, all of that. When your body is in survival mode and is doing everything it can to function day to day, all the resources it has are going to be channeled into just barely being able to just get through the day. And you're not going to have that extra like energy and resources to actually do anything that's considered almost like a luxury when your body is struggling to survive. Creatives are pretty sensitive people. A lot of creatives I met have very sensitive systems and struggle with various food sensitivities, etc. It's very interesting, and I think it's just part of being a creative person. You're kind of like a conduit, and a lot of stuff is moving through you and can kind of degrade your body over time if you're not feeding it and keeping it nourished and well. And so that's another big lesson for me. I was not physically well, and that caused me not be as mentally well as I would have liked. And there, the creativity started to dwindle again. And it's so interesting when I gear up and say, okay, I'm going to cut out all the crap, I'm going to get back to my like little holistic thing and really focus on it. All of a sudden my brain starts feeling better. I can move around. I'm not hurting all the time, and I'm inspired to go outside. I'm inspired to exercise. That's extremely important. Being on a well-balanced diet that's suitable for you, not eating things that your body's sensitive to, not eating artificial things, all of that, getting enough sleep, getting exercise. We tend to be very sedentary, just sitting in our little chairs, like in our own like design vortex, clicking away on the computer or sketching away or knitting away or whatever creative outlet you're doing. A lot of it can be sedentary. So make sure you get outside. A lot of people are vitamin D deficient. I've never struggled with vitamin D deficiency in my life, and I'm vitamin D deficient because I just sit inside all day. And at first I was like, how the heck did I get vitamin D deficient? I used to be a swimmer. I was like outside. I was like tan all the time. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've been inside, like indoors for like a couple years straight, basically, just with very small, like brief, like walks outside and stuff. And usually in the evening, it doesn't take much, guys. And vitamin D can throw off the whole thing. Like you start to, get more inflammation. You can be depressed from it, anxiety, brain fog. Just the whole body just starts to melt down. Vitamin D is so important. So getting in touch and going outside in the world around you is great. It's like grounding for creatives. And honestly, it's grounding for anybody. A lot of people, especially in America, suffer from being too sedentary and being under harsh fluorescent lights all day and going home at night and doing the same thing all over again. So we don't get to see the sun. So it's very important. Also making sure you're doing things that are not related to the work you do for money. So you have, with creatives, our passion is tied into our work. So sometimes it's hard to find that line. Where does it start and end, right? So do something that you're not actually like charging people for. For me, I just absolutely love to make homemade natural products, and I do that all the time. I love to cook. I love to come up with new recipes, and I like arts and crafts, and not in like just in like the real crafty sense. Not like I'm not like painting or sculpting or anything, but just like things that I can do with my hands. I love building things. Those are things that make me feel like me. There are times when I'm on the computer just clicking away for like months, you know, designing on Illustrator, Sketch, whatever. And I am like sucked into the digital like black hole. And then I'm like, oh my God, I don't feel like myself because I'm not using my hands. You know, I'm not sketching and drawing. And after realizing that, you know, just picking up a pen and trying to sketch, like I realized that the muscles, the finely tuned motor skills I used to have had degraded because I did not use them like I used to. I used to be an accessory designer, and it took extremely precise work with my hands, very steady hands. I used very small tweezers, very small things, and I was constantly building things with my hands. And for the last couple of years, I honestly stopped because I was just so busy being a digital designer. And so just starting to do that again, it's just so helpful. It makes me feel happy and alive, and it grounds me. It feels like a very grounding thing. That's another thing all creatives should do, is have your fun creative thing that you do that. Because, you know, of course, like, because our passions head into what we do, it may be fun to do things for clients, but there's something that needs to be special just for you. And it doesn't mean that those can't turn into monetary ventures in the future, but even when that's a monetary venture, there should still be something else that is not tied up in a business. So that I would definitely recommend that. I'm also going to emphasize again community and who is around you. Who is your network? That is so important as a creative person. A lot of our work is built off of community. When you're alone and isolated and you're just working away, you lose touch with reality in a way. Getting out there allows you to get to know new people, hear new perspectives that challenge your own. Also, it helps with business, and you can help their business and they can help you. A lot of times, you know, I've seen a lot of designers say like, oh, I'm swamped. Who's available to take this client, you know, and they'll post it on, you know, Facebook groups, things like that. And it's wonderful. And it just shows that level of like camaraderie and trust. And I'm very happy to see that in, since I'm a designer, I see it a lot in the design world. But I know it's really common in all aspects of the creative fields. So it's just like refreshing to go out with a bunch of like-minded people or to meet like-minded people and to just talk about what you guys love. So, you know, in my case, since, you know, I'm a designer, I love meeting new designers, and just, it's so cool because you bring something up and then you see them get excited and then they bring something up and then you get even more excited, and it's like excitement builds and pretty soon you're all just like stoked. Hey, let's hang out sometime, you know, like blah, blah, blah. And it's lovely. It really fulfills the soul. Being a creative, you cannot isolate yourself. And we've talked about being introverted in other episodes. We've talked about how we tend to be a little introverted in some ways. And a lot of creatives I know are struggle with introversion, and they really, it's like a struggle to get out and to, put themselves out there. It's like physically painful for some people. And, some people have crippling anxiety, but being alone does not help that. So getting out there, take a friend with you that you trust, and then you can feel a little more comfortable meeting people. The people that you're already hanging out with, check it out. Look at your group, look at your crew, and see like what's working, what's not working. There's nothing like being stoked about something and then telling one of your friends about it, and then they just kind of like roll their eyes at you, or they don't say anything, or they seem very skeptical. And I'm not saying like no one should challenge you ever, but like if the only thing ever coming out of that person's mouth is something negative, if they're doubting you all the time, if they don't take what you do seriously at all, and they joke about you, you know, around other people, they make fun of what you do, whatever, it's really not beneficial to keep that element in your life, because it does make you doubt yourself. Even if the most confident person, if they hear that over and over and over and over, it's going to chip away slowly. And then before you know it, it's just totally melted away your self-confidence. So be very careful about who you align yourself with. It's very easy to get caught up and stay with someone as a friend or an acquaintance, because you've known them for so long or whatever, but cutting out the negativity in your social circles and personal circles, just, it gives you, a sense of security because, you know, you've hand selected who you want to be around, and they've hand-selected you, and you're going to be a source of inspiration for them and vice versa. So community, I cannot stress that enough. Having a good community, having a good crew around you is just very important. So
one of the many repercussions about burnout is that it can affect your money flow and your livelihood.
It can affect your money flow.
When your brain is like unable to produce ideas that you get paid for,
burnout,
then you can end up in a bad place.
Think straight.
The ideas just don't come
in such a bad place that I had to move back home with my parents after my my studio venture failed. It was a real nightmare. and I just needed time to recover. And it's important not to let yourself get to that bad of a place. You really have to look out for the signs. So what I'm going to do is give you some early symptoms of burnout so that you can catch it in advance. And then I'm going to give you ways to combat early signs of burnout, things you can do to help reverse it before it gets worse, and prolong it and all that stuff. So some of the signs of burnout, some of the first are like tiredness, just feeling tired all the time, fatigued, needing to sleep a lot, all of that. That is like a huge sign that your body is starting to burn out, break down. It's starting to require more sleep in order to regenerate. And you definitely don't want to ignore that need for sleep. You need to, in order to combat that, you're going to have to start taking naps, try to go to bed a little earlier, and slowly move up that time to a place where you're at least getting 8 hours of sleep. Chronically being sleep deprived is literally like a death sentence in the long run. I had so many doctors tell me when I was going in for all my issues, they were asking me if I was getting enough sleep and all this stuff. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And I told them, well, you know, I'm really stressed out and I'm pulling all-nighters. Sometimes I'll pull multiple all-nighters in a row. And they were like, oh my gosh, you can't keep doing that. Like, that's so, so bad for you. Your body's just going to totally start malfunctioning. And they said, you have to stop. And I said, well, I don't know if I can, because that's the demands the program has. Like, everybody's sleep deprived, you know. And they're like, you have to. You absolutely have to. But I didn't heed that warning because I felt I couldn't change much about it because of my major. And I just continued to jack myself up, basically. So definitely when you're starting to feel that need for more sleep, make sure you meditate. That's a great way to get a quick energy burst back in. Gives your body and mind a chance to relax, to get out of that stress state. Very small amount of time of meditation is equal to taking like an hour nap. I can't quite remember the exact amount of time. Something like 10 minutes of meditation is equal to like an hour nap or something, or many hours of sleep. I would definitely check that out. I don't remember the exact conversion, but it's incredible. So make sure you maybe relax, do some breathing. You know, if you do yoga, that's fantastic. But just meditate. Anybody can take 5-10 minutes out to meditate. And if you need to listen to some calming music to get you in that place, make sure you take cat naps. If you know you have to stay up late, make sure you take a few cat naps and try your best not to stay up late as much as possible. Try not to, basically what happens is if you stay up past, if you get into like, let's say you go to bed at like 11, now you've reached that point where your body's starting to ramp back up again and your body's getting that second wind, and it's going to make it very difficult to sleep, and your sleep is not going to be as restful as if you were to go to bed at like 10. But we all know that's unreasonable a lot of times for creatives. So just try and get a lot of rest. Take an hour nap here, take a 10 minute, 20 minute power nap, and meditate if you can. So that's a great way to help combat that tiredness, but that is definitely a big sign. So keep an eye on that, on your patterns with that. Another big sign is brain fog. Not being able to think straight, being kind of a little more easily confused. Maybe your memory doesn't feel as sharp. You're forgetting things easily. You just kind of generally feel like you're in a haze. Things don't feel as sharp to you. You can't use your memory recall as well. Things don't come as quickly to you. You're missing stuff. Let's say you're a student. Maybe you're missing a lot of stuff in class. When people are talking to you, you're not really fully like hearing what they're saying all the time. You're constantly forgetting things. All that general brain, that fog, it really does feel like a fog, almost like you're in a weird, like dreamlike state. That's a sign that you're totally tapping out your mind and your body. Definitely get sleep and take B vitamins, take lots of B vitamins. It's extremely important. Make sure you're taking all the vitamins, take a nice multivitamin, make sure you're not, getting depleted from your lifestyle. Also, try not to drink so much caffeine. Commonly, we're staying up late, we're hauling through a big project, we have this insane deadline or something, and we just drink cup after cup of coffee, tea, whatever, and the worst is energy drinks. Oh my goodness. I totally destroyed myself on energy drinks in college, guys. Do not drink energy drinks. It can like straight up like damage your heart. Like just don't do it. But yeah, stay away from highly caffeinated beverages and slowly start to decrease your caffeine intake. Don't want to do it suddenly because you're going to get like crazy caffeine withdrawals, then you're not going to be functional at all because they're terrible. But if you just slowly start decreasing it, wean yourself down at least to like green tea level caffeine. Because what happens is this is like depleting your adrenals really, really badly. And you're never giving your body a chance to like regenerate those hormones and chemicals in your body. And so basically you're running on empty and the caffeine is artificially allowing you to continue to push yourself when without caffeine, you'd probably be crashing for like 48 hours straight. You'd probably just be relaxing and waiting for your body to rejuvenate. So definitely keep an eye on the caffeine. No energy drinks. Also, sugary substances that will do the same. That highly sugared products, candy, cookies, whatever, baked goods, whatever your poison of choice is, those refined sugary products also totally F with your adrenals and cause you to totally plummet after continued consumption. So yeah, caffeine and sugar will definitely do that. But also possibly being a little vitamin deficient, make sure you take those multivitamins and especially B and D. Those are just amazing for the mind. Also, fish oil is incredible for focus, for concentration, for inflammation. It's just amazing. So it'll help you be sharper. It'll help you remember things better. And if you have ADD by any chance, it'll help with that a lot. Fish oil is one of the top recommended substances to take for any kind of learning issue, ADHD, ADD, autism, and even mental illness. So give yourself a nice boost with some high quality omega-3 fatty acid. Another sign you might be experiencing the beginning of creative burnout is you feel that your creativity is stifled and it's not fun for you to be creative anymore. You're starting to feel fatigued by trying to be creative. You're feeling very frustrated. You're having major blocks. You feel like it's a chore to be creative and your mind just gets so tired just from thinking about it and trying to do it. This is something that is culminated by the other previous things I spoke of. So, the slack of sleep, not proper diet, and not proper vitamin intake or improper vitamin intake, and all those things kind of come together to start to affect very specific things like your ability to be creative. You might also start to become a little depressed. This is another sign, another thing that manifests in the stages of creative burnout. You might start becoming down. You might start doubting your capabilities. You might just start to feel inept, like you're not producing as good of work as you used to. You're starting to really get concerned about your quality of work overall and your performance as a creative person, the future of your creative path and all that. That is another big sign that you're experiencing creative burnout. You need to start incorporating things, like I mentioned earlier, that really fulfill you and make you happy, to not associate creativity with stress and trauma, basically. You need to have outlets that promote creative thinking as a free and open thing, something that you can do that makes you feel good. So if you refer earlier to what I talked about, they're coming up with all these hobbies that are creative that make you feel good. That's a good way to help combat that. Another sign that you may be burnt out is that you start to isolate yourself. And this kind of goes with the whole getting depressed kind of thing or feeling down or melancholy. Maybe you start to isolate yourself. You know, you don't really want to hang out as much. You're just generally having lower self-esteem because you feel like your performance is inhibited and that something that comes naturally to you, like creativity, is no longer free flowing. This symptom is kind of like at the late stage of creative burnout, or towards the mid to late stage of creative burnout. And this is something you don't want to get to this place. This is from this point on, things start to get more severe. So to recap everything, to wrap this up, you want to take your health into the highest regard. You want to surround yourself with great people, people that inspire you, people that you enjoy being around, and people that invigorate you. You want to make sure you have creative hobbies that are ones that you're not making money off of, ones that are just for you and for yourself, and that really enrich you and ground you and make you happy. Make sure that you're not eating foods that are causing you to feel sick, not eating processed foods, things that are you're sensitive to, but you could eat anyway. Make sure you're not having a lot of sugary things. And just generally have a well-balanced diet. Make sure you're including enough vitamins and nourishing foods into your diet to help your creativity. And make sure you get a lot of sleep as much as you can. Make sure you rejuvenate. And if you are pulling a lot of all-nighters and stuff and you have really no choice, make sure you at least meditate or take a cat nap a few times a day. Just kind of get into that like zen place for a little bit just to give your body and your mind a rest. And the very last thing I'm going to say is, you might start experiencing this like while you're at a job. So maybe you're not running your own business. Maybe you don't have your own practice or selling your own product, but you're working for someone and this is your day like every day. I will say that it would be very wise to start looking for other opportunities because this will really destroy your creative spirit. You don't want to be a place where you feel oppressed or you feel like they're not treating you with respect or they're not, giving you an opportunity to be a healthy person. And we all sometimes have to do jobs that, you know, for short periods of time or for a while just to build our portfolio or to get out there and get our experience. But know that after a certain point, it's just going to hurt you and it could take a lot longer to recover than if you were to just to find another opportunity. And that's not really an easy thing either way, but it's much better if you just take the leap and put yourself first and try and be at a place that really respects you. And there's no such thing as like a perfect place to work, but somewhere where you can at least like have time to exercise, sleep, hang out with friends, have hobbies, things like that. Make sure that this, wherever you're at, will at least give you some time to do those things and to nourish yourself when you're not working. So these are some things that you can do to help yourself both prevent creative burnout and also to recover from it. It is totally recoverable. And if you're going through this, do not lose faith. You will get back to where you were. You just have to be patient and kind to yourself. Hopefully this helped someone out there from going through what I went through. And hopefully it can inspire you to get out of it if you're currently in this state. So thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate your loyalty and we would love to hear if you have any ideas for any future episodes or anything you would like us to write for our blog or any people you'd like us to bring on for an interview. Go ahead and you can shoot us an email at hello@creativehoney.org. Or you can DM me on Instagram at Creative Honey or Facebook or whichever media you prefer. Send me a tweet and we will go ahead and plug that in. So thank you so much again, guys. Feel free to follow us on the social medias. We post updates on there for the latest podcasts and articles and any updates that we have. So stay tuned. We've got more good stuff coming to you.